and your toes and your face. And just be careful, okay? Galatians 5:13, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Look at the person beside you and say, liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, your promise, your grace, your mercy, and your truth. Help us, Lord, as we break the bread of life. Help us, Lord, to understand it. Not only understand it, but, Lord, help us believe it. Not only believe it, Lord, but help us apply it to our life so that we may be better for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said amen. You can finally be seated. One of you preachers, when you get a chance, do a word study. When the Bible says that we've been called to sit in heavenly places, I want you to find out if that means stand as well. Because I was thinking, Dave, everybody gets to sit down now, but I taught Sunday school. We stand during worship, and now I get to stand and preach. I'm going to get me one of them stools that them cool preachers get so I can sit down in heavenly places. So I hope it means stand as well. I want to tackle something here real quick, and then I'm going to let you go because I know we got a lot planned this weekend. And we believe here that family is extremely important. God instituted the family before the church. That doesn't mean that when your relatives come in, you can miss church all the time. That's not what that means. Church is important. It is important. Your family is important. Give you a little bit of background. The reason we don't have church on Sunday night, and I have taken ridicule for it from some people, and the reason we don't do that is because a lot of you guys work 5-6 days a week. Sunday's the only day you have for your family. And what good is it to know Jesus if you don't take time to impart that into your family? So I challenge you, be with your family. Tell them about Jesus. Show them the love of God. By love, serve one another. Serve one another. When I first got saved, I was challenged with the idea that I think I could be a better better Christian. I could be a better Christian if I got away from all sin. I thought, man, if I could just take myself and get away from everybody, I think I'd do better. That is not what God called us to do. God called you to be in the world, not of the world, but you are his ambassadors, and you're here for a purpose. So you got to walk in there with power and commitment and conviction and love this world. Can you say amen? But the world that we live in, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. The world that we live in is becoming increasingly anti and very hostile toward God. There are laws being put in place right now. I don't have time to go through all the states, but there are laws being implemented right now that we're on the fast track to make a Bible-believing Christian a crime. And I've heard this since I was a kid, and I never dreamed it could happen. But I heard that they would lock the church doors when I was a kid, and I never dreamed that would happen. But we have seen a time when, under the guise of certain things, that it would be very easy to do. Can you say amen? The world we live in is we're living in post-Christian America. So to compensate for that, what we have done is tried to make our churches very sinner friendly. Oh, come on, say amen. Look across the nation. We have tried to become relevant to our culture. And I don't think that's a bad thing. But I do know this. When he built the temple, he said, make sure when you put the cedar, don't attach it into the walls, make it freestanding. The cedar brought beauty to the temple, but he didn't want the beauty to compromise the structure any at all. Let me say that again. We can make the gospel attractive, but we cannot make the gospel attractive at the cost of truth. We have a whole generation that has seen the need And I understand from times past that, I said it this morning again in Sunday school, Jeff, it seemed like growing up that when the preachers would preach that God was just mad all the time. Did anybody know what I'm talking about? It was just, God was just mad all the time. And I understand that that's not how God is. I understand that wrath is an attribute of God, but God is love. But to hear them, the way they preached it, that he was out to get you. And it was, I understand that we had to get away from that. But the pendulum effect is this. Once you start moving away, where do you stop the pendulum? Because it's very easy for the weight to move it completely to the other side. And now righteousness, holiness, and truth have become things of the past and no longer relevant in the modern day church. Can you say amen? Because we love people. We love people. It's our duty to love people. Even when they're unlovable, it's our duty to love them. As a matter of fact, some of y'all wouldn't be loved if it wasn't our duty. You're that unlovable. But God gave us this love to overpower and counteract anything that could be named unlovable. But in the name of becoming relevant, we must understand that the God that we worship doesn't allow you to just come any way into his presence. I can tell you to come as you are. I mean, come to church as you are. But to get into the presence of God, he said, no flesh will glory in my presence. Though I get you to church as you are. Jesus loves you, not as you are, but in spite of how you are. He loved me when I was in my sin. He loved me when I was dead. He loved me in my trespass, but he loved me so much, he didn't leave me polluted in my own blood, but he came by and said, live. We've used this illustration many times, and I feel compelled to use it again. Come here, Sam. Be careful sitting up front. You'll get used as an illustration all the time. Come here, Johnny. Some people won't sit up here because they're afraid to be used of an illustration. One guy told me when I did illustrations to do them faster because when in front of everybody, he can't keep his stomach sucked in that long, so to make them quick. It wasn't you. It was Doug. I mean, it was Doug. He said, come on, preacher, when we're up here, let us go. We got the world in one hand. We got Jesus in the other hand. If you think you can operate like this very long at all, you can't. Here's the reason why. They are going in opposite directions. And as they go in opposite directions, if you try to hold on to both of them, it will tear you apart. Because what will happen in your life, you're not committed to either one of them. You're too committed to this one to have fun with this one, and you're too committed to that one to really love this one. He said, no man can serve two masters. So as the pull comes, and we feel the pull, as they pull in different directions, there comes a point where you're going to have to make a decision. I got to let one of these go and love the other. I'm here to preach to you today. The one to let go is this world and the things of the world. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody touch you like Jesus can. This world will crush you. Its goal is to kill you. There is a system in place the Bible calls the beast system. Its job is to make you think a certain way. We're all from different backgrounds. We all come from different sides of the tracks. Amen. We all come from different upbringings, different. But I don't get to blame any. Well, he's more apt to believe because he was raised this way. No, we all got to come to our own conclusion. We all got to come to our own choice. The prophet said it like this, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if Baal be God, well, let's follow Baal. But if God be God, let's follow him. So each one of us has to make a choice whether we're going to follow or not. The only way we know we make the choice is by obeying what he said. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, preacher, you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. And you don't have to. Let me tell you what you got to do. You got to be obedient to God's word. Let me say that again. You got to be obedient to God's word. I want to read to you a quote from a book. And this is very interesting because this man is very popular in his area. He's a popular pastor. He does a radio program. And he writes books. But listen really close. And I know what you're going to do because it's easy to do this. You're going to say, no, I kind of see what he's saying. We want to talk about freedom. We want to talk about walking in liberty and what that means. Because we're getting the wrong concept of what liberty is. Well, Christ took care of the law, so I don't have to care about it anymore because he took care of it. That's the wrong kind of liberty. Amen? Listen to this. The good news is that Christ frees us from the need to obnoxiously focus on our goodness, our commitment, and our correctness. Religion has made us obsessive almost beyond endurance. Jesus invited us to a dance, and we've turned it into a march of soldiers, always checking to see if we're doing it right and are in step and in line with other soldiers. We know a dance would be more fun, but we believe we must go through hell to get to heaven, so we keep marching. On the surface, you say, but he makes our commitment, our correctness, and our goodness hell. Being concerned about your goodness, your correctness, and being concerned about your commitment to Jesus, he says, is hell. There is no possible way that me being concerned about my commitment to Jesus should ever be hell. That should never be a burden to me. That should never be a struggle to me. I said it this morning, but I couldn't imagine being in a relationship with my wife and look at her and say, you know, keeping this commitment with you and making sure I'm committed to you is pure torture. And I just want to dance, baby. Here's the problem with the dance. The dance is over. And we don't live every day in a dance in a ballroom. Every day ain't peaches and cream. Can I get an amen? Some days it takes commitment. Some days you got to check yourself and look back and say, God, I'm still committed to you. Even though right now it don't seem right and it don't seem good, I love you and I'm going to stay committed and I check my commitment. People are reading this. Oh, I got to go on. In his book titled Three Free Sins, he has someone call into his program and he tells them that they get three free sins. And the way he copes with this and brings it in circle is he says, in the end, those sins are covered by Jesus, but not just those three. All sin are covered by Jesus. That sounds right. Can you say amen? No matter what sin you have committed, Christ has paid for your sin. But I want to insert to you very quickly, none of your sins are free. Let me say that again. I don't care how many you commit. None of them are free, but they all cost our Savior. Oh, it didn't cost God his extra son. It cost him his only son, and he died on a hill for your sin, and it was costly. Oh, as they begin to talk about this, the review says, hilarious, honest, and full of hard-won wisdom. At its core is the truth. Real change only happens when we realize God loves us whether we change or not. Let me tell you something about the love of God. The love of God is not just about whether you change or not. It's all about your change. It changes your destiny. It changes your outlook. It changes your disposition. It changes your mind. Everything about you becomes new. Let me tell you, God loves you whether you change or not. But let me tell you something about the love of God. The love of God is so great that when it gets on the inside of you, it changes you. What does it change you to do? To walk away from what is old and behold, all things become new. That's the love of God. He don't reform you. He don't patch you. He makes you a brand new creature. Tell me about the change. I titled this sermon Book Bashing. No, it's the concept that we can hold on to Jesus and still live in sin, and somehow we're going to make it. Don't be fooled. I've argued this point. We've talked about it. We've debated it. We've been over it. Pastor, can I drink and go to heaven? You can't be drunk and go to heaven. Well, what about a little? I gotta tell y'all this story. Perry, I was at a church one time, and this guy played the guitar at the church. And I preach their homecoming every year. And we go up there, and I'm sitting out there, and I'm just trying to get to know the people. And we're sitting there talking, and I said, now, who's that? He said, ha, that's my mother-in-law. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, she's a nosy old hag. Really? Yeah, he's like, she knows everything. He's like, she knows when I got vodka at my house. Oh, okay, then. He said, I can't hide nothing from her. I don't think it's her we need to be worried about, pal. If you're afraid of your mother-in-law, you really better be afraid of the wrath of God when it's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. If you're afraid of your mother-in-law, be really afraid of Jesus in his wrath. Can I get an amen? I got to hurry. This book from a popular pastor teaches us that only people who make any progress toward being better are those who know that God will still love them regardless of how good they are. This book is about the misguided obsession with the management of sin that cripples too many Christians. It's about the view that religion is all about sin, about how to hide side sin, or how to stop sinning altogether. In the introduction, the author toys good nature with an agitated caller on his program, teasing him in a segment where he offers three free sins. In the end, it goes like this. Steve continues through the book to show readers that while they can never manage sin, they can relax in knowing that they are completely forgiven, not just of three, but of all. Though a Christian can never manage sin, they can relax in knowing. Let me tell you something about sin. It breaks fellowship with God. And it's not about managing sin in your life. It's about eradicating sin in your life. It's not about trying to manage what we call weakness. It's about turning our weaknesses into strengths. It's not about him looking at you saying, do this or else. It's about you knowing who he is, what he did for you, and you love him so much you don't want to do anything offensive to him. How can you have sin in your life and relax? I'm going to tell you how we've gotten good at it. If a man knows to do good and he don't do it, to him it's a sin. We've got comfortable because we've been misrepresented the grace of God. Oh, I'm in it now. Wading through deep waters now. Glad you came this Sunday to hear this. You know why we don't preach on sin anymore? Because we don't want to offend. Why don't we want to offend? Oh, because we want big numbers and we want to do this and we want to do that. Let me tell you, these pastors, some of them are so concerned about their empty seats. Let me tell you what I'm concerned about, the full one. I'm not concerned about this seat here. There's nobody here. I'm concerned about this seat right here because I've got to be able to preach to her truth, and I don't want her leaving out of here thinking and have a misrepresentation of what the grace of God is. Let me tell you about the grace of God. It don't overlook sin. It gives you power to overcome sin. The grace of God gives you power to overcome sin. The Bible says grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live soberly, godly and righteous where? In this present world. Well, preacher, you're a little old-fashioned. I see that gray in your beard. You ain't going through what we're going through. Puke. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. So let me tell you, the same type of temptation the devil's putting on you, he used in Egypt. It's the same stuff. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It may be easier for you to get your hands on, but it was still available way back then. Oh, I better be careful. One of the oldest professions in the world is prostitution. Now you tell me if this world ain't always been messed up. We get grace and mercy mixed up. And we call grace and mercy the same thing. And I think when they sang the song, they said, grace and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. If they're the same thing, why are they both following me? Let me tell you what mercy does. And you better appreciate the mercy of God. When you are in your sin, mercy reaches out to you. That's the mercy of God. Mercy calls you. God's mercy reaches out to you. What God's mercy does when it gets a hold of you is it brings you out of your condition. Man, I got to stop for a minute and say thank you, God, for your mercy. You brought me out. He brought him out of Egypt. He didn't leave them in Egypt. He brought them out by mercy. Get this. He brought them out before he gave them the Ten Commandments. Are you listening? He didn't say you got to do this, 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 and this to get out. That's not what he did. But once he brought them out by his mercy, it wasn't long. He gave them the commandments. This is what grace does. Mercy brings you into the classroom of grace. And grace teaches you. Go ahead and sit down right there in the classroom, buddy. You're in the classroom of grace. It teaches you. Great mercy brings you to the classroom of grace. What are you saying? When I understand the grace of God, it doesn't come by itself. Grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Check this out. Grace travels with mercy and grace travels with truth. Oh man. That's gooder than y'all gave it credit for. Grace and mercy follow you. Grace and truth. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace teaches you. What does grace teach you? It teaches you liberty. It teaches you freedom. As we celebrate our freedom this week, I want to remind you that you are free by and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But we've got this idea that we are free from all the commandments and we are free to sin. We are never free to sin. We are free from sin. Well, you don't have the temptations. You never had what I have. He said grace teaches you to live godly in this present world. That's current. You're telling me that Jesus ain't enough in 2023 when he was in 1920? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, but preacher, the world is more evil now. How awesome it is that God chose you to be the last time, end time generation to rise up against the enemy and still fly the banner of truth. Amen. Thank you. That's what grace does. All right, let me get back so I can let you go. This concept is not new. What we're dealing with right now is not new. Can you manage your sin? I think he said, purge yourself. Can you manage your sin? Can you set up fences to keep you safe from your sin? Can you decide not to put any evil thing before you? Can you decide to dismiss the thought when the enemy comes in and recognize this is not my thought? You don't got to be embarrassed about it. The enemy brings all kinds of thoughts. Don't own it. Look and say, this ain't my thought. I don't want it here, and I'm going to manage this. You don't belong here, and you bring it into captivity. Can you do that? Well, preacher, I don't know what's wrong with me. I know. If we go in certain areas and we do certain things, it affects us. If you're not careful, I know you pretty good. If you're not careful, could your temper get the best of you? Hot-headed preacher. Could your temper get the best of you? I'd hate to see if his temper got the best of him. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that. Don't get too buffed up on me. I really don't want to be on the end of Tracy's temper either. Tracy, if you're not careful, could your temper get the best of you?
Do I have to admit that?
No, you tell me. Could it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't have to admit it. Your sins will find you out. Can you manage it? Let me ask you this. If you're prayed up and you go into a battle, are you under better management there? Why would you do that? Why would you be ready? Why, when the Bible says think on these things, what's he trying to do? In your downtime, think on these things. Why? Why do you do that? Because the enemy's coming. It's not a matter of if the devil's going to fight you. It's a matter of when. Can you say amen? And you know what's crazy, Jeff? We sit back and act surprised when he comes. Y'all pray for me. The devil's been all over me. I told you he was coming. I told you. Told you. But I'm not ready. Be ready. Because sin breaks fellowship. How important is your fellowship with God? How important is your fellowship with God? Tell you something about this world, people. It ain't the friendly little thing we think it is. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. Devour. So when I walk in truth and I walk in freedom, I walk into freedom to overcome anything the devil brings at me. Can you say amen? I'm not perfect by any means. None of us are. But that don't mean we just don't try. Honey, I know I'm not a perfect husband, so you're just going to have to deal with it. I ain't trying. What kind of relationship is that? Honey, will you pick up your socks? I ain't trying. I told you I wasn't perfect. Honey, why don't you ever buy me flowers? I'm not perfect. I told you. Hey, you know in your marriage vows, you said to love and cherish. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. Do you cherish him too? Well, let's get real. Do you cherish your spouse? I love you because God makes me. Do you really cherish your walk with Jesus? Because if you do, you can't relax in sin. You can take hope in knowing that the blood is retroactive. You can take hope in knowing that he knew when he bought you and adopted you that you was going to be a wreck. You can take hope in that. But don't ever relax in sin. Why? Because, Marty, we got a job to do. We got a world to win. And if we're still over here sitting in sin, breaking fellowship with God, how are we going to be effective to do what God called us to do? If we're walking around in condemnation with our head down when the enemy brings it to us, and listen real close, we walk around sometimes in condemnation, not from Jesus. He said, I don't condemn you. Thank God he convicts us. But let me tell you what happens with us. We walk around with our head down a lot because we've messed up. It's our fault. He's gave us everything he's going to give us. He's gave us his word. He's gave us his name. He's gave us his power. He's gave us everything he's going to give us. Judges 17 and 6. Come on, musicians. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Jeremy, we live in a world where people want to be free to sin. But here's the problem with that. Not only do they want to be free to sin, do whatever they want you to shut up about it. They want to be free. They want to take your freedom from telling them that what they are doing will get them in trouble. Oh, we're about to go through it, people. Find me. Find me. Why? Because some people are so afraid of what's going to happen in the last days. Prophecy comes forward. Some big wheel pulls out a prophecy. This is getting ready to happen this time, that time, that time. People get rattled. Let me tell you why they're rattled. Because they're scared for themselves. How many people in here are scared of heights? Raise your hand if you're scared of heights. Scared of heights. Scared of heights. No, you're not. You're not scared of heights. You're scared of dying. That's what your fear is, right? That's why I don't like being in an airplane. I don't want to die. And every time I look at that pilot, I know at work there's good operators and there's so-so operators. And then there's the backup guy because the good guy's off. And I look in there, I'm like, I wonder if he's the good one or the backup. I'm not scared of flying. I'm scared of dying. I don't want to fall that far. You know what the number one fear of man is? Public speaking. The fear of death is number two. That means some people would rather die than testify. Is that crazy? Would you like to say something for the Lord? I'd rather die. I feel your pain. It's scary being up in front of all y'all. Darren. In this world we live in, we got to be overcomers. Because if we overcome, there's 30, there's 60, there's 100. Can I get an amen? Listen, I'm convinced we can have a revival sent from heaven and some people will miss it. I think that there are some people that give their life to Jesus and they're satisfied with just making it in by the skin of their teeth. But I think there's a generation that says, he brought me out of Egypt so that he could bring me into Canaan. He didn't just bring me out to bring me out. He brought me out so that he could take me in. And Dustin, I'm not just standing here saying at the Red Sea, so glad you brought me out. No, I'm headed somewhere. And on my journey, I got to keep those things that break in fellowship out of my life so that when the time comes, I'm ready and I'm effective.
Amen. Amen.
If you're 30-fold, I love you. We're so glad you're here. If you're 60, thank God for you. But man, we need some people. I said, you know what? Today, I want to be 100. I want to be 100. It just sounds better. Are you sure? I'm not 100 on that. But today, you could be 100. How do you do that? Make up your mind right here. You know what repentance is? It's a changing of your mind. It's a turning. It's a turning. Tracy, I'm convinced I'll be turning for the rest of my life. Turning. Turning, turning, turning. I know y'all ain't gonna believe this. We've been married 27 years and I still mess stuff up. I still gotta say, hey, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I can't just say that and then walk away from it and just say, well, she ain't never going to leave me. She ain't never going to forsake me. So I can just about do anything I want. What kind of love is that? What kind of love? What ain't really bad, preacher, unless you get caught? With who? With who? Do you know God really is watching everything? He knows if you're pretending or not.
Amen, amen.
He said of a people, Brother Kenneth, he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He knew the condition. He knew the separation. Oh, man, I want somebody that's wanting to be 100. I want to be real. I want to be real. When I fall down, I want to get up. I want to put things in my life that keep my fellowship with him intact. Hey, listen, I know. If you don't know your weaknesses by now, ask your spouse. Be ready for a list. You don't have to agree with all of them. If you're not married, ask your parents. That's not the case. Ask your coworkers. Say, hey, be honest with me. Be honest with me right now. You know, all of y'all got little quirks that you don't even know about? You know, it's funny, ain't it? Do you remember yours when we all had our meeting about? We was all at the house and we was all picking out what everybody said that was weird. Tracy said, yours is dude. I said, did I say it a lot? She said, a whole lot. Too much. I said, excellent. Darren's was basically. Remember that? Darren would say, basically, basically. Let me tell you what happens when somebody points it out. Every time you say it, you notice it. I got out of the habit of saying, dude. But still to this day, when I say it, am I back at it? I'm back at it. See, I didn't even know. I thought I conquered it. Dude, I'll try harder. When somebody tells you and they point it out, God's pointed out our weaknesses. God's pointed it out. Now we can take them and just say, oh well, or we can say, God, I love you so much that I want to be more like you. And I know you were flawless. And I want to manage this and I want to work on this and I want to walk in your truth and I want to walk in freedom. Because let me tell you what real freedom is. People say that a Christian is bound to rules and regulations and we need to get rid of all this. Let me tell you what bondage is. When you can't sit through a whole service without having to go out to put some kind of substance into your body, it's bondage. It's bondage. The addict says, I'll quit as he sits in the gutter with a needle in his arm. And he says, I'm done, but he's addicted. That's what sin does. It addicts you to everything that ain't like Jesus. Oh, but today I'm taking the needle out. I'm done with whatever it is. I'm walking out of here in true freedom. Freedom to serve Jesus. Freedom to worship Him. Freedom to walk in truth. Freedom, freedom, freedom. I gotta say it. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty I'm free at last. How many people like to hear British people talk? Man, remember that guy, Tracy, that day we was down in Charleston? I thought I was about to lose her. I thought she was going to leave me. That old man came in there doing his little British accent. She went. I'm an old man. He was an old fella. She was like, I love the way he talks. I'm sitting there thinking, we won the war. We won the war. We got out of none of your tyranny. You may talk you, but we won. Man, how good does it feel to not be under the oppression, under the enemy anymore? How good does it feel to walk in freedom? How good does it feel when they sing about the blood of Jesus that you can raise your hand and worship knowing He liberated me. He liberated us. Oh, let's praise Him for just a minute. Now I'm